This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Health and Living on the Bigger Picture. I'm Tina Camellia. Recognized as the number one cause of death in Malaysia, heart disease must continue to remain a concern to all Malaysians. Yes, we know it's not a new message, but we need to keep reminding everyone about our heart health. In conjunction with World Heart Day on the 29th of September, Dato' Dr. Ahmad Khairuddin, consultant cardiologist from IJN, is in the studio with me. Let's start with coronary artery disease. It is the most common type of heart disease, if I get that right. What exactly is it, and how is that categorized under the main umbrella of cardiovascular diseases?
Thank you for having me here. First of all, I would like to just mention to you regards to your question on the coronary artery disease. Well, cardiovascular system refers to all heart and vessel in our body. And you know that all our parts have their own artery. So when we said about coronary artery disease, when we say about that, it is referring to the artery that supply the heart. So cardiovascular disease can also affect the brain when the disease in the vessel to the brain. Then this disease we call as a stroke. And cardiovascular disease also comprise of peripheral vessel, meaning that the artery in the leg and our calf. So if there is a disease around that area, then we call it a peripheral vascular disease. So when we say cardiovascular disease, it's very general, but when we say about coronary artery disease, it becomes very specific, focusing on the heart. So the coronary artery disease is a common disease. In fact, it's a condition that really involved in many of us and some of our family members too. So, and coronary artery disease also a disease that most people are very scared to deal with it. And in fact, it creates a lot of motivation for youngsters as well as elderly to really look into this and detect it early and try to prevent it.
What is the global burden of the disease and how does it affect Malaysians?
Well, if you look into the WHO statistic in 2015, it shows that the death related to the cardiovascular disease approaching more than 17 million globally. And it is the highest among other diseases such as cancers, about 8.2 million, diabetes mellitus, about 1.5 million. All these death related to the disease. So it is alarmingly very high, and these are going to be predicted to increase further. And then they estimated about 23 million of people might suffer from cardiovascular disease or cardiovascular death by 2030. And because of that, I think WHO have come out with this World Heart Day to increase the awareness, the importance of identifying and detecting and screening this disease early and trying to do prevention of you once you have been diagnosed and trying to control it even better with more knowledge and awareness around the community, in particular in Malaysia. So if we talk about Malaysia itself, if you look at the National Health and Mobility Survey, or NHMS, in 2015, they have shown to us that the cardiovascular disease is one of the most common cause of death and hospitalization in our hospital facilities. And if I may quote, this cardiovascular disease very strongly related to diabetes, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia. And to put into perspective, the diabetes mellitus in Malaysia itself is about 17.5%, which is about 3.5 million. And both for those who are above 18 years old. And then hypertension about 30.3%, which is about 6.1 million of adults above 18 years old. And hypercholesterolemia is about 47.7%, which is about 9.6 million. Those who have hypercholesterolemia. All these three common diseases will contribute to the development of cardiovascular disease, in particular coronary artery disease. So it is alarming and is ongoing. And in fact, with our changing lifestyle, as the country become more affluent, we are going to face this kind of disease. And it is just in time that we need to increase the awareness and, in fact, educate public at large the importance of coronary artery disease and detecting it early and preventing it from getting worse once you have been diagnosed.
You mentioned about detecting it early. So what are the warning signs of cardiovascular diseases and specifically coronary artery disease?
Well, in general, coronary artery disease develop or give symptoms to patient when they have chest discomfort. This is common symptom. Chest discomfort, they use the word angina. Chest discomfort mainly, you know, on exertion, and they can present with associated symptoms such as sweating, nausea, difficulty in breathing, and they also can have this vomiting and, in fact, collapse or loss of consciousness. All this because of the sudden, abrupt closure of the artery that eventually damaged and injured the heart muscle. And these symptoms often be mistaken of other condition, like, you know, some people like to associate it with the gastritis or gastric discomfort. And if it is gastric, often the symptom may not be associated with the exertion. However, in coronary artery disease, they tend to develop with exertion. But there is also a condition when this thing becomes so chronic or very prolonged, and that particular patient, the symptom may present during rest as well. So that is called unstable angina. So the first one that I mentioned is the stable angina, meaning that the chest pain developed with activity, and the other spectrum is the chest pain developed even at rest. So the one that developed during exertion is kind of an early warning. So for those who are relatively very active, and then they notice that they can no longer do, say, you know, jogging for about half an hour, they shorten the duration because of chest discomfort, then you know that this is probably the early sign. And in that kind of situation, we would recommend one to go and get the medical assessment.
And speaking of medical assessment, when should you begin paying attention to your heart health and perhaps start scheduling for regular checkups or screening for a possible risk of coronary artery disease?
Yeah, I would like to encourage for those who are above 40 years old to come and do the blood screening. And in fact, we can even encourage people to do exercise stress tests. But of course, doing blood tests is first method. Why? Because we, with the blood tests, we can do blood sugar level. If, let's say, you have a high blood sugar in the range of above 5.5, and then we will do a further test to see whether you are in the category of diabetes mellitus. And blood tests also, we would be able to determine the cholesterol level. As I mentioned earlier, about 47.7% of Malaysian population from the National Health Morbidity Survey shows that they have a very high cholesterol level. So, and during the medical checkup, not only the blood test, we also can do various other tests. In other words, how we diagnose whether you have a coronary artery disease or not. We can discuss that later. But I think the first thing that you can do is to do a blood test and check whether you have diabetes or you have a high cholesterolemia.
It's World Heart Day on 29th of September, and I've been speaking to Dato' Dr. Ahmad Khairuddin, consultant cardiologist from IGN. Dato' Dr. Ahmad has given a lengthy overview of what coronary artery disease is. But what really happens to the coronary artery that leads to coronary artery disease? That's up next, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Tina Camellia, and with me is Dato' Dr. Ahmad Khairuddin, consultant cardiologist from IGN. We are continuing our discussion on coronary artery disease to coincide with World Heart Day happening on September 29th. So what exactly happens to the coronary artery that leads to its disease?
Well, coronary artery disease is a disease of multi-factors. In this case, what happened is the artery get deposition of cholesterol, and this cholesterol become hardened at the vessel lumen, and once they harden, they tend to rupture or fracture. And once it ruptured, this is the condition that leads to blood accumulation, and they can have this obstruction of a blood flow on that particular area. So that plaque is called atherosclerosis. So in other words, atherosclerosis is the plaque deposition in the blood vessel, which due to the ongoing vessel injury and along the process of trying to heal this, a lot of inflammatory cell or cell that trying to heal that particular vessel. So once it heals, it creates a plaque. Initially, the plaque will sort of narrow the blood vessel partially. But what worries us is the plaque or the waxy material, or you call it waxy material in the blood vessel, that become unstable, then they ruptured. Once they ruptured, the blood will come and try to heal it. And along the process, it might occlude the artery. So that's the time when the patient develop chest discomfort. And eventually, if this thing is not treated in time, they will develop heart attack.
And all these things, they happen within the body, within the blood cells, and you can't see it with the naked eye, and you need to be diagnosed for it. How do you diagnose that this person has coronary artery disease?
Oh, that's a very good question. Often people are worried, they're concerned because it's not visible. So if someone or anybody out there above 40 years old have multiple risk factor. In particular, we want to know whether they have a diabetes. So in order for us to diagnose diabetes, they need to do a blood test. So the first thing that we'll do, of course, in this case, we'll go the usual approach, which is asking the symptom, whether they have chest pain, how it is developed, and then how long it lasted. So this is what we call the history taking. From the history, then we do a physical examination. And often with physical examination, there are probably not much of changes, but we will look into the overall features like a blood pressure, like the heart rate, like the body mass index, and then like also features of a high blood cholesterol that manifested outside, meaning that there is probably a thickening of the skin reflecting what we call tuberous xanthoma. Many times, tuberous xanthoma is a features of skin changes due to the cholesterol, which is very high in the blood. So that is a physical examination. Then come to the final part. When there is a strong features of coronary artery disease inside the patient, then we'll do the investigation. The investigation comprised of common one is the electrocardiogram. So one, we can see the resting electrocardiogram where it shows abnormal pattern. So I think the abnormal pattern, we leave it to the physician to finalize and diagnose it. And that is a resting ECG. And then in order for us to escalate the test further to confirmation, we need to do what we call a stress ECG. So stress ECG or treadmill stress test is a method where we attach an ECG, like the resting ECG. So this ECG will monitor your heartbeats and the electrical activity during exercise. So then this treadmill will slowly increase the intensity of the exercise. So 3 minutes each stage, and we will see the ECG pattern. If you show a normal pattern and able to tolerate the exercise very well, and the doctor may conclude that the stress test is normal. But on the other hand, if it is not normal, then we have to diagnose you having coronary artery disease. And of course, there's many other tests that we will use to complement and consolidate the diagnosis of coronary artery disease by doing an echocardiography. Echocardiography is the ultrasound test where we look into the thickness of the heart, the heart cavity, the valves inside, and the nature of the valve moving during rest. Of course, chest X-ray is one of the methods to look into the other structure which is adjacent to the heart, which is lung, the rib, and other soft tissue and structure there. And another investigation, like I mentioned, is a blood test that I mentioned earlier, which is looking into diabetes, hypercholesterolemia, and many other blood condition, which is hsCRP, looking into whether marker of inflammation in the heart. That is the detail of methods, how we make a diagnosis of coronary artery disease. And nowadays, I think that is the common, yeah? But nowadays, we have other methods, which is very fast that we can do. I think we will discuss that when all these tests is positive, we will do this, what we call coronary angiogram, is the final one, or coronary cardiac CT. That is another method of confirming whether the test that we have done earlier showing a strong features of coronary artery disease, and that is the final test.
Let's say you are diagnosed with coronary artery disease. What does that mean to your day-to-day life? What type of ongoing care do you need?
Okay, I mentioned earlier that we have performed all the tests, and then the final test that we normally do is to do a coronary angiogram. It's a method where you do invasive assessment where we puncture the artery. And the puncture the artery, the approach can be from the hand, the called a radial artery, or from the groin, the called a femoral artery. So from that puncture site, we will introduce a small, soft tube or catheter, they call. And this tube will be inserted right into the heart, and then cannulating the coronary artery in particular. Then the contrast or a dye, we will inject it, or we push the contrast into the artery. It will mix with the blood, and at the same time we'll do an X-ray, and this X-ray with the contrast will interact and will outline the artery in the heart. So this is the gold standard of diagnosing coronary artery disease. If the coronaries of the vessel or the vessel looks normal and the blood flow is within normal limits, then we can say there is no coronary artery disease. However, if it shows a narrowing of the blood vessel, and the narrowing can be very critical, from very mild to a critical, and the blood flow are also affected. In other words, we are looking into the contrast flow or the dye flowing down, and that doesn't show a healthy-looking vessel, then we can diagnose you having a coronary artery disease. Of course, that is the gold standard. There is a risk related to this coronary angiogram. Nowadays, we have non-invasive method of diagnosing coronary arteries. This is what we call a computed cardiac tomography of the coronary arteries, where similar dye will be used, but they will use a vein instead of the artery. And this procedure can be done as the outpatient. It doesn't require admission to the hospital. And there will be a minimal radiation exposed during this procedure. And at the same time, we will be able to see how the coronary looks like. If it is healthy, very likely that we will report this as normal, and then probably you don't have to do anything except other related issue. But if, let's say, there is a diffuse, significant area of narrowing, then we would recommend you to go for coronary angiogram and eventually to treat the blood vessel. Of course, I have mentioned that is the common scenario. Once the doctor confirmed that you have a coronary artery disease, there will be a lot of what we call a lifestyle that you need to change. Yeah, first, you need to control your blood pressure if it is high. Second, if you have a high cholesterol, we need to give you a cholesterol-lowering medication. And if the narrowing is relatively diffuse, or a lot of atherosclerotic or waxy vessel, we need to give a blood thinning medication. So blood thinning medication, in this case, we have aspirin, we have clopidogrel, and we have Brilinta nowadays. Yeah? This blood thinning medication targeting into the platelet is one of the blood compound which is very active and potentially can slow down and tends to form a blood clot in the blood vessel if you have a lot of atherosclerotic plaque that I mentioned earlier. So we have to give aspirin, we have to give cholesterol-lowering medication. We also have to consider giving anti-hypertension, in this case, beta blocker like bisoprolol, metoprolol. All this medication will reduce your blood pressure and hence reduce the stress of the blood vessel. And this, in return, will control and improve the blood flow, yeah? Because the beta blocker often will slow the heart rate as well. So the slower the heart rate, the better the blood flow. And the fourth one is the ACE inhibitors, the anti-hypertension. ACE is stand for angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitors, which is a very useful anti-hypertension to reduce the blood pressure as well as to prevent cardiac remodeling, meaning that when people develop coronary artery disease, they tend to have reduced blood flow, and reduced blood flow will affect the overall heart performance. And when they are not performing very well, they tend to become balloon out or become dilated. So ACE inhibitors or angiotensin converting enzyme will try to prevent cardiac remodeling. So by doing so, putting this everything, a cocktail of medication, we would be able to prevent development of coronary artery disease. That is in the setting of you do not have a heart attack before. Let's say you have a symptom, you have a strong family history, and then you do a medical checkup, and then the medical checkup show something like this. So this is a detecting early and preventing it, you from getting heart attack. But there's another cohort or group of people, they develop heart attack, they suffer from heart attack, they get admitted. Once they got admitted, the doctor will also give something similar, the group of medication, but we need to monitor and perhaps further tests need to be done. Yeah, let's say they have a heart attack. So then we have to give medication and they need to do what we call a secondary prevention approach. The secondary prevention approach is to prevent you from getting another heart attack. So if, let's say, you have been diagnosed earlier without a heart attack, that is called a primary prevention. Primary prevention meaning that preventing you from developing heart attack. Of course, once you have been diagnosed, a lot of education need to be done to educate the patient the importance of modifying the risk factor of developing heart disease. Perhaps I did not mention it clearly in the beginning that coronary artery disease is a multifactorial disease where there is a many disease that influence the development of a waxy material development in the artery. So we can divide into the non-modifiable risk factor and then the other one is a modifiable risk factor. During the primary prevention as well as secondary prevention, we are looking into the modifiable risk factor. What are they? Modifiable risk factor. Number one is the smoking. So smoking is one of the major contributor to the development of injury to the vessel, then that leads to the development of atherosclerosis or the waxy material. High cholesterol, you know, the body try to absorb it and then in the process it develop injury or inflammation in the blood vessel. High blood pressure is another cause of coronary artery disease. High blood sugar, i.e. diabetes mellitus, also one of the cause. And the other one is the obesity or overweight, yeah, that potentially creates waxy development in the artery. And then the physical inactivity, one of the causes. Of course, the other one is the unhealthy diet, which is high fatty diet, a lot of sodium in the food, sugar, high calorie drinks. And nowadays, we also identify another potential contributing factor. The one that I mentioned, I think about 4 or 7 factors earlier, is modifiable and has been established quite a common cause of developing coronary artery disease. The other one is the stress. Stress at work, stress at home may contribute to the development of high blood pressure indirectly. And the other one that recently has been identified is the metabolic syndrome. And the other one is the obstructive sleep apnea. Obstructive sleep apnea is one of the contributing potential contributing factor to other medical condition. So obstructive sleep apnea is the condition where people develop cessation of breathing during sleep, or a transient pause of breathing during sleep, and then enough to cause or disturb sleep, and sometimes may be associated with the underlying snoring. So that is the obstructive sleep apnea. So that one, I think we probably have a separate session to discuss about this. It's an ongoing clinical concern. And of course, I have mentioned modifiable risk factor. And the non-modifiable risk factor is the age factor itself. The older one become, the higher risk of developing coronary artery disease. And gender, being a man, that's higher risk of developing coronary artery disease as compared to women. But women, once they are post-menopause, the risk is about the same like a man. And of course, the family history. This age, gender and family history is non-modifiable. Once you have a strong family history, like say the paternal side of the individual, if any of your family members on the paternal side, male side, that has been diagnosed having diabetes younger than the age of 55, you tend to have similar condition in your side as well. And the same time apply to that individual if the maternal side having diagnosed coronary artery disease younger than the age of 65 years old. So that itself a risk factor. So back to the primary and secondary prevention, we are trying to prevent and try to modify the risk factor that the patient have before, with lifestyle changing as well as medications in this case.
That was consultant cardiologist from IJN, Dr. Ahmad Khairuddin, discussing coronary artery disease and what you can do to prevent it. This has been a two-part special in conjunction with World Heart Day happening on the 29th of September. You can catch the second part of the interview same time tomorrow as we discuss the treatment evolution for coronary artery disease over the years. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.